Welcome to Journal Club for November 10th, 2024. I'm Malcolm Diggs. In the early days of the 20th century, AT&T had a problem. They wanted to build the first transcontinental phone line connecting San Francisco and New York City, but their engineers told them it was practically impossible. Voices in a phone line couldn't travel anywhere near that far. Why? Signal attenuation. As signals flowed through the phone lines over distance, they got weaker and weaker. Even if they had the physical wires connecting the two coasts, the signal they sent from San Francisco would be so weak once it reached New York, if it reached New York at all, that for all intents and purposes, it would be like it never arrived. So AT&T leaned on its brain trust at Bell Labs, and in the early days of the 1910s, it paid off. They debuted the repeater, an amplifier that could be placed along the phone lines at regular intervals, boosting the signal as it went. The signal would get weaker and weaker, then hit a repeater, get strong again, and continue traveling that way all the way to New York. Soon, their concept was in place across the country, allowing them to make the first transcontinental call in 1915. 100 years later, software engineers are now facing a problem that, on its face, sounds very similar to signal attenuation. It's called the vanishing gradient problem. You're probably aware that artificial neural nets are trained largely through a process called backpropagation, where the learnings are passed backwards through the model from the output layer to the input layer, allowing the network to get trained over time. What you may not know is that the learnings being passed backwards through the layers, that is all called the gradient. And as it gets passed backwards, it starts to diminish, causing the gradient to get weaker and weaker. In the vanishing gradient problem, the earlier layers in the network don't receive enough gradient information to update their weights effectively, and the learning process stalls. This can have the effect of making the network incapable of learning complex patterns, and is a big problem for anyone working with deep neural nets. This issue can be a limiting factor for computer vision models, especially those used in medical diagnosis. Why? Because in medical diagnosis, we're often dealing with small sample training sets, but lots of layers. If you're training a computer vision classifier on stoplight data or human faces, you have lots of layers which absorb the gradient during backpropagation, but you have millions of images to train with, so even if there is a major vanishing gradient problem, you're still able to train. The amount of images that you have make up for the diminishing gradient. In medical diagnosis, you only have a few thousand images, but you still have lots of layers because the accuracy of your model matters. You train on your thousands of images, but your layers soak up all the gradient, and your model barely gets trained at all. So what's the solution? What kind of tooling can we use when we need a CV classifier with lots of layers, but don't have a ton of data to train it with? That's where this research paper comes in, and more specifically, that's where DenseNet comes in. In this paper, the researchers aimed to train a computer vision classifier that could search X-rays for traces of pneumonia. They only had a few thousand images, so rather than try to train a model from scratch, they took DenseNet, a pre-trained model, and used transfer learning to fine-tune it. Why DenseNet? Because it's purpose-built to solve the vanishing gradient problem. In DenseNet, the layers are densely connected, meaning each layer receives input from all previous layers. This allows gradient to flow more easily through the network, which means more gradient reaches the earlier layers and the model gets trained faster and better. They got their data from a publicly available dataset on Kaggle titled Pneumonia X-ray Images. This dataset included 5,856 annotated X-ray images divided into two categories, normal or healthy, and opacity, that's pneumonia cases. For consistency, they split the data into 80% for training, 10% for validation, and 10% for testing, maintaining an even distribution of classes to minimize bias. To implement their model, the authors used DenseNet 121, a variant of DenseNet with 121 layers that is known for effective feature reuse due to its dense connectivity structure. They started with a model pre-trained on ImageNet, a large general-purpose dataset, and froze the parameters of all layers except the final classification layer. Freezing parameters means that during training, only the weights of the last layer are updated. while the pre-trained weights of earlier layers remain constant, a technique that saves computational resources and minimizes the risk of overfitting on a small dataset. DenseNet's dense layer connections address the vanishing gradient problem by promoting a stronger gradient flow across layers, which is crucial for models trained on limited data. Typically, in a neural network, each layer passes information to only the next one, the next layer. DenseNet, however, allows every layer in a block to receive the outputs or feature maps from all previous layers. This densely connected structure reuses features and ensures that the gradient flows directly through each connection during backpropagation, effectively reducing the vanishing gradient problem. These dense connections are organized into dense blocks, where every layer is linked, followed by transition layers that reduce dimensionality to manage computational efficiency. By enabling this extensive information sharing, DenseNet reduces redundancy, optimizes gradient flow, and enhances feature reuse throughout the model. Because DenseNet was pre-trained on ImageNet, its lower layers already contain the general features useful for many vision tasks, like edges and textures. By freezing these layers and training only on the final layer, the model adapts specifically to detecting pneumonia without needing to retrain on every low-level visual feature from scratch. For hyperparameters, the model was trained using a learning rate of 0.001, which balanced convergence speed and stability, with a batch size chosen to match the limitations of their NVIDIA 4070 GPUs. Hyperparameters are settings that control the learning process in a neural network, such as learning rate and batch size, which in this case were carefully selected for optimal performance given the hardware constraints. The optimization was carried out using SGD, that's stochastic gradient descent, and binary cross entropy with logit's loss, which was used as a loss function given the binary nature of the classification task. Image preprocessing included resizing each image to 224 by 224 pixels, horizontal and vertical flips for augmentation, and normalization to standard pixel values between 0 and 1. Normalization here refers to scaling the pixel values, which helps stabilize the gradients and allows for faster, more reliable convergence during training. This preprocessing improved gradient stability and helped the model to generalize across varying image characteristics. To validate their model, the researchers evaluated it on metrics including accuracy, precision, recall, and F1 score. As a reminder, precision measures how many of the pneumonia predictions were correct, while recall measures how many actual pneumonia cases the model correctly identified. DenseNet 121 achieved 96% accuracy, with a precision of 96 and a recall of 98 for pneumonia cases, showing a strong capacity to detect disease indicators on the x-rays. It also demonstrated a low inference time, averaging 11 milliseconds per image. So overall, I'd say it was a success. By leveraging DenseNet's dense connectivity, the model mitigates the vanishing gradient problem, facilitating learning from small datasets while maintaining model depth and complexity. In a broader context, DenseNet's approach to feature reuse through dense blocks highlights the advantage of architectures designed to maximize gradient flow and minimize parameter redundancy. This is particularly valuable in medical imaging tasks that involve subtle or complex visual patterns requiring deep feature extraction, as seen with pneumonia indicators on x-rays. The study shows how we can boost the signal of small datasets, amplifying gradient flow just as repeaters amplified early phone lines, allowing neural networks to learn complex patterns in scenarios where data is limited, but accuracy is essential. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.